what The Rock is cooking. Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of Wrestling Radio Talk Show at WrestlingRTS.com. And Bruno here, and I can just say, finally, the WWE title has come back to the hands of the Great One. Today I'm joined by...
Lee Tomlin from a very soggy Hertfordshire in the United Kingdom.
And I'm not too far away from Lee in London, and soggy here as well, Manco. Let's go through the card real quickly. It started off with the pre-show. And all I've really got to say about The Miz and Cesaro is that if they're trying to kind of pass the torch from Ric Flair to The Miz, Ric Flair would never be on a pre-show.
No. I thought it was a pretty decent match for a pre-show. I thought it was all right.
Miz looked like he injured his knee at one point, or his
ankle. Yeah, that looked pretty horrible, that spot where he come off. I think it was his ankle. I think they later said it was his ankle, but he was hobbling around pretty bad on that.
But he did come back later on in the Rumble match, quite late on, and seemed to be all right. And then it was Big Show and Alberto Del Rio in a last man standing match. The only real things I remember from this match is the Big Show actually took a Hurricane Rana and pulled it off really well. Alberto Del Rio is kind of doing more of his Lucha Libre stuff. And there was that one spot, I don't know if you remember it, it was near the entrance where they've got all the stage and things, where he did the choke slam through the table.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, that spot in it. But for a last man standing match, I didn't think there was enough spots, if you know what I mean. You expect a bit more with sort of maybe like, you know, interaction with the environment, but I don't think they did it enough last night. But I've never really been a big fan of Del Rio, but last night, what he did, he kind of grew on me a little bit last night.
And then there was a promo, I believe, after that, and it was Dolph Ziggler talking about winning the Royal Rumble and unifying, then cashing the Money in the Bank briefcase at WrestleMania and holding both titles and unifying them. The main thing I remember of this was Dolph Ziggler had a slightly Legion of Doom style kind of top on with the spikes.
That was funny.
And then I think after that we went to the tag team titles, Team Hell No against Road Scholars. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good match. But before we go into that, I just want to say I hope that Big E Langston is not going to be doing a lot of this commentary jokes from here on out. But once again, I enjoy watching Damian Sandow grow. I think. Watching him yesterday is just, shades of him going to be a top heel and possibly a future champion.
Yeah, I'd agree totally.
I thought it was an okay match. It wasn't, I don't know, I didn't really get into it as much. And I do love Cody Rhodes' mustache. I really do.
I think after the match, obviously the Rhodes Scholars didn't win the match and we still got the same tag team champions, which I thought was good. I thought, you know, they've been really good tag champions, and they're doing really well as a team, and it's aiding both of them, Kane and Daniel Bryan. So there's no reason to split them up yet. Although I can definitely see that happening, and possibly at WrestleMania the two of them facing each other, or them dropping the titles at Mania, which would be great for another team like the Road Scholars or whoever challenges them.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's going to lead to a feud, isn't it, between Bryan and Kane, I think.
Eventually. Sorry, Bruno.
Yes, I would agree. I think they just put too much time into their build-up as Team Hell No with the whole psychiatry classes and all that. But I can see them possibly dropping the titles to a team formed by The Shield come WrestleMania, and then expect a feud between the two after that.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, I didn't... Absolutely.
And what... Look, can I just add, what about this... I can't remember his name. Is it Dr. Shelby? What about him maybe getting involved and costing them the titles as part of their like their next step or whatever?
Would he be in a match or something eventually, in some comedy match?
Well, he could like come out as their manager or something and maybe end up costing them the title as part of their rehabilitation to see how they cope with it or something.
I'm sorry, I just want to say, hey, the WWE has a great talent in their developmental center, so that's a possibility. You know, he could. It would be nice for him to bring a tag team up to go after Team Hell No. You know,
I could see that kind of thing happening because they've been involved. I mean, those therapy skits have been really great. I think they've been one of the highlights over the past few months of the tag team division. But I can see that happening because even last night there was two or three comedy spots with Kane and Daniel Bryan, and I think they all went really well. For example, that when Vicky Guerrero gives them their numbers after the match for the Rumble, that was, I think there was a line in there about, I showed you mine, so you need to show me yours. And then Kane goes to Daniel Bryan, if I show you mine, you'll feel really inadequate.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All those euphemisms.
Always good to tease us with a little attitude error, huh?
Yeah, and then in the actual Rumble match, which we'll come to later, in the elimination, there was again another kind of comedy moment which led them to arguing again.
Yeah, and Kane ended up dropping him on his backside, didn't he?
Really, I think the main thing we want to talk about is the main event and the Rumble match itself. And personally, I think it's great for the WWE to have such a huge kind of Hollywood star as champion. I mean, he's a mainstream Hollywood star, and it's only going to serve the company really well in terms of their media and their build up to WrestleMania and attracting people who might not really be into wrestling from outside into the product. So really, I'm saying, although to a lot of hardcore wrestling fans, it might seem a bit predictable and obvious, I think it's actually good business and they've pulled it off pretty well. I mean, the downside for me is that wrestling wise, CM Punk and The Rock, they should have had a better wrestling match, really. There was loads of drama and entertainment and twists and turns, but it was like neither of their finest matches, I don't think. And for CM Punk, it should have been a kind of career milestone. And for The Rock winning the title after 10 years, it'd been nice to see a one of his better performances. I don't know what you both think.
Well. I think CM Punk carried far too much of that match last night. I mean, for like The Rock being in such great shape and stuff and the look of him and that, I just think Punk carried far too much of it last night.
I would have loved to see more of a solid kicking and kicking match from CM Punk and The Rock, taking it big time, selling it big time, showcasing what Punk is really capable of as far as his ROH days. Yeah, but you got, I mean, it's who decides on it, you know? Is it them two that decide, or is it the people backstage that decide on how the match goes? You gotta ask yourself that.
I think you know? it's gotta be down to them, surely, what actually goes on in the match.
Right.
But like, there was a horrible table spot in that as well, wasn't there? Where he went to do the rock bottom on the table and it just collapsed underneath him.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, that wasn't the greatest moment.
No, I thought it was pretty horrible.
I have to say, there was loads of entertainment, loads of excitement, the false finish, Vincent Mann coming out. There was loads of drama, but in terms of a wrestling match, they could have both. I think if they were both honest with themselves, I imagine backstage there. They're saying that we could have pulled off a much better match.
Yeah, it wasn't easy to watch. I'll say that's for sure.
But I want to know what you both think about The Rock being champion, because I don't know if you remember back in September last year, there was a list of the richest wrestlers, and it included things like their salaries, their real estate holdings, sales, royalties, sponsorship endorsements, and I think it also included some information from public tax records. And The Rock is almost by double, excluding Vince McMahon, if you want to include him as a wrestler, but he's almost more than double the second most richest, wealthiest wrestler. He's worth $70-odd million. Where if you compare that to people like in second place, Stone Cold Steve Austin, $45 million, John Cena, $35 million, The Big Show, $30 million, Triple H, $25 million, according to this list. you know, I think having him as champion is only, even if it's for a short term, it's only good for wrestling.
Yeah, I think, like, because hasn't he got a film? Is it G.I. Joe that's coming out pretty soon? So I think maybe he's going to be carrying the belt with him around quite a lot while he's doing sort of promo work for that, I guess. I guess that's where the big thing of it comes in, that, you know, he'll have that on him whilst he's doing all these different talk shows and that, maybe, and give a bit more.
Do you reckon he'll wear the title to all these public appearances?
Well, I think he'll do a few just to, like I say, just give extra publicity to WWE.
Oh, listen, he'll be on Conan O'Brien, he'll be on Jay Leno, he'll be on Jimmy Kimmel, Kelly Ripa, and he will be carrying that title. He's got quite a few movies coming out from now until, I believe, late May, early June. G.I. Joe, Snitch, Power and Gain. So the guy's definitely going to draw big-time attention to the WWE brand. And, you know, with Vinnie Mac, he sees that as a money pool, you know, and why not give it to a man that not only can carry it well inside the arenas, but outside as well. No pun intended to CM Punk. We all know he's straight edge. But I'm just saying the fact that they're going to give that title to him to carry out in the spotlight other than wrestling arenas is a good deal for the brand.
How long do you both think that The Rock will actually hold the title for?
Till WrestleMania, for sure. Till WrestleMania.
I would say WrestleMania, most likely, definitely. But I would wish not WrestleMania. I would like to see him hold it a lot longer than that. When he came back, he said he was never leaving the WWE again. He was always going to be with us, you know. Granted, he's not going to be able to be at every WrestleMania, at every Raw, which he should be considering he's a champion. I think if he made it to every Raw and limited himself to the house shows, he could carry the title for longer and not drop it so fast. I mean, 2 months away is WrestleMania. That's kind of what's the sense in that, you know?
Well, let me pass on an interesting fact that shows I've been doing a little bit of research, at least for this podcast. History basically says that he won't have the title for very long. This is his eighth title reign, and as of today, it stacks up to a total of 298 days as champion. Compare that to 434 days of CM Punk's recent reign. I'd have to go with Lee and say that he drops it at WrestleMania 29. I mean, that's the big stage.
I think, I don't know how accurate I am in this, but I don't think any of his title reigns have gone any longer than 4 months, I believe. But I think, yeah, mainly it's just going to be, because he's got this film coming out, you've got all the extra publicity, and it's WrestleMania season, isn't it? So it's just going to be putting the title on him because he's going to be in the spotlight quite a lot, and, you know, it's just going to be getting people interested in WrestleMania, basically. And then once, you know, WrestleMania comes around, he's kind of like, his job's done for the time being, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed by that, because just after WrestleMania season is the European tour, and
exactly.
I'm quite used to all the big WrestleMania names not being on that.
Yeah, they all just disappear. Yeah.
So we not only do we have to stay up until 4 a.m. watching pay-per-views and Raw in the UK, but we don't get all these part-time stars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard. It's hard.
It is. Like, cause I mean, last night I've always been a fan of The Rock. He was my first sort of the first wrestler I really bought into and got into, and last night for me, I don't know, it was just all a bit too predictable for me, like the way it went down. They've got Elimination Chamber, where I think that they could have put the title on The Rock, because I don't know how you guys see it. You got the four big pay-per-views. You got SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and of course WrestleMania. And at them is where I expect the big swerves and the big, I don't know, the big dramatic endings and stuff. And last night, it just seemed a bit predictable.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to come on to next, really. I think the element that I was really not happy with was that you can see where this is going. I know we've not yet gone into the Royal Rumble match, but, I mean, it was meant to be, WrestleMania 28 was meant to be once in a lifetime, and it's pretty clear now that we're building up to a rematch at WrestleMania 29 between Cena and The Rock. And I think Cena will be probably getting his win back over The Rock in return for losing to him at last year's WrestleMania. And it would kind of make good business sense, because it's unlikely, as we were saying, that The Rock will be around for long enough to kind of justify holding the title for a long time. But saying that, I've got to give kudos to The Rock, because I've heard him being referred to as the Elvis Presley of wrestling, and there's more money to be made in movies and Hollywood than there is in wrestling. So I'm sure he's getting paid very well from the WWE, but he doesn't really need to be there, and he's obviously doing it for his passion for the business.
Like I say, don't get me wrong, I love that the fact that The Rock's back. It's just he's just getting a little bit too predictable at the minute. He's getting all a bit, you know, I don't know, I just want to see something a bit different from him. It's like his promos are getting a bit samey. It's a bit John Cena-esque. I know that might sound a bit bad, but like all of his promos at the minute just seem to be talking about... No, listen. All of his promos at the minute just seem to be talking about, you know, the people, this, people that. And,
I believe he just sit there.
I think we're losing Bruno there, Lee.
Bruno?
No, I'm here.
You were cracking up. Can you repeat that? It sounded good because it sounded like there was passion in your voice there.
Well, yeah, it's definitely passion, man. I would never compare The Rock to John Cena in any way, shape, or form.
Trust me, it pains me to do that, Bruno. It really does.
Oh, man. I think what you have to realize, you know, The Rock has been around from the 90s. The Rock is a huge, huge star. Okay, in the world of wrestling, you know, you could go somewhere and say, who is The Rock? And you could go somewhere and say, who is CM Punk, to be honest with you. And mostly, no one would know who CM Punk is. And that's just because The Rock was so good when he was at his time delivering that character. It's well known, if you know what I mean. It's so well known that for him to come on there and be The Rock, I mean, Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan. You know Hulk Hogan as, what you gonna do, brother, when Hulkamania runs wild on you? That'll always stay with Hulk Hogan. That's who Hulk Hogan is, you know? And he still draws money, you know, because that's Hulk Hogan. When The Rock comes out and says he's gonna lay the smacker down on your candy ass, or he's gonna take that song, bitch, shine it up real nice and stick it straight up your candy ass, that's Rock shit, you know, and that's why The Rock is for what he is now, from that character. So I would hate for him to come in. I mean, even when he was a heel, you know, he still was the same guy, just with a little bit of edge. So I don't know if people would rather see him as a heel, because I wouldn't care if he was a heel or a face. Hell, I would rather get on top as a heel Bruno doing The Rock, because, you know, it was more entertaining because he was more edgy and more in your face. But to compare him to a man that gets in the center of the ring and thinks he's actually a superhero when he delivers his promos in reference to John Cena, I'd almost want to jump through the screen and give you a rock bottom.
You've taken it the wrong way. I'm all for The Rock doing his promos, but it's all a bit, it's just too much about, I don't know, maybe almost kissing ass with like the WWE universe. It's too much of that in his promos. I love the promo.
But he's the people's champion. Yeah,
yes, I know, but even in his attitude days, there was never too much of this talking about the, you know, the people. There's just too much of it now. Too much of that in his promos.
Do you not think he's using that, Lee, as a way of basically, like, I don't know, contrasting himself to CM Punk, who's doing that classic sneaky heel thing of basically talking down to the people? Yeah,
but he was doing the same sort of promos when he was going against John Cena. It's still all the same about, it's too much about the people, instead of focusing on actually going after who he's facing. There's just too much of it. And then obviously John Cena always comes in the ring and says about, he's here to do his thing. He's here day in, day out. You know, it's just all a bit, I don't know.
If you look at CM Punk's promos, you know, I think he makes waves by sticking up for the boys in the back that don't get noticed. I think that's his big thing that he puts in his promos, so that he looks like, you know, that vigilante guy from the back that has the mic and the voice of the voices of the guys in the back. So I'm pretty sure he'll always stick to that style of promoing, because that's what that's who he is. You know what I'm saying? So we could be 10 years from now. We could be 10 years from now. CM Punk could be out there doing the same thing he's doing yesterday, you know, because that's who CM Punk's going to be, who will always be. You know, when CM Punk came, when he did the pipe bomb and we had that edgy heel, all right, this guy's going to deliver it the way it should be delivered as far as promoing. And then they sort of evolved him into like a smiley guy in the ring, you know, being smiley. It didn't work for me. I was like, no, this isn't working. This is not CM Punk. CM Punk's the guy that grabs the mic and tells it the way it is, you know. So that's always going to be CM Punk, meaning if The Rock were to change who The Rock is, it won't sell, you know. That's what I'm trying to get.
Like, yeah, all I'm trying to say is I'd rather hear more of The Rock going after who he's facing than spending the first part of his promos talking about, you know, how he's live in front of the people and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he did always used to mention it, yes, but it would just be like, it would only be a quick word about it. But now he just seems to spend too much talking about that. I want to see more of The Rock making fun of his opponent and stuff, his usual sort of routine. I want to see more of that side of it.
Well, I was
the tattoo with the boot on his ass was pretty damn funny.
That's what I mean. I want to see more of that. And like, I thought, okay. I mean, I was pretty, when he did his rock concert thing the other day, I thought, oh, not another one. But I think that is the funniest one he's done so far. That's the sort of thing I want to see more of, that side of The Rock.
I've got to say that I was getting a little bit tired. I was feeling some of The Rock's promos were samey, but The one he did before the match yesterday, that blew me away. That was amazing. And after that promo, I thought there's no way that The Rock could be losing this match, where he talks about his mother fighting cancer, him being rejected from the football team at the University of Miami, and having at one point only $7 to his name, and just the intensity he had. Exactly. He was walking backwards and forwards, almost like the Ultimate Warrior used to do, and he was just breathing steam. It was a really great promo.
That's what I'm talking about.
What would have been great, if you noticed yesterday when he did the interview, he grabbed the mic, put the hand in the guy's face, and the big fist is right in the screen, shaking, you know, like, shut up and know you're wrong, shut your mouth. It would have been great if he would have had the shirt and threw it over his head like he used to do to Michael Cole tons of times back in the days. But that interview yesterday was pure old school rock. You know, ask me a question, but I'm taking the mic from you and taking you out of the screen. I'm going to deliver and electrify the crowd. And that's definitely what he did yesterday.
Yeah, that actually made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. That did.
Well, I was speaking to a female friend today who doesn't really follow wrestling, and she called me quite early and I didn't answer. I phoned her back and said, you know, I was asleep because I was up so late watching the Rumble over here. I told her that The Rock's back in wrestling and he's the champion, and she automatically said to me, I think it's probably really good for wrestling because he's a legit Hollywood star. She referred to him as the Sylvester Stallone of the current era. And I just wondered, wondered what you thought of his acting skills. Is he up there? Because on yesterday's evidence, and some of those, I know some of his movies are a bit cheesy, and he's a comedy actor, but he pulls off promos like he did yesterday, and that's five star acting to me.
Hey, have you ever seen The Gridiron Game?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
That's some good acting in there. I love it how people just refer to him as a tooth fairy. But the Gridiron Gang, and if you look at the previews of Snitch, his movie coming out, Snitch, it looks like pretty damn good acting. A fellow friend of ours that was on episode one, Casey Collins, a.k.a. the Cajun Cowboy, was on set for that movie as it was filmed in Louisiana.
Right.
And real quick, speaking with Casey, he told the story as he was on set. There was a scene, I believe it was at a carnival, and The Rock is delivering a scene high, full with passion. And Susan Sarandon, who's his co-star in that movie, said to him, Dwayne, you're overacting. Seriously, she said it to him, you're overacting. Casey said that The Rock said, excuse me, Susan? No. See, this is what Dwayne does. This is what The Rock does. He gives 110% of passion. What I'm doing is I'm delivering passion in this scene. This is what you get when you work with the great one, along those lines. And he said that he put Susan Sarandon in her place for her coming after him, and he wasn't too happy about it, as Casey told me. So I think we'll all be genuinely pleased with his acting coming up.
I mean, I just want to say, I think it's good that he hasn't just gone down the whole route of action star. He has mixed his... I mean, obviously, he gets a lot of fun poked in for being the Tooth Fairy, but it was good to see him do that because it was something different for him. And I think he played... was he a gay bodyguard in another film? And
brilliant acting. It was... Get Short.
Yeah, Get Shorty. And I just think that it's good that he's done all these various different roles. And I don't know if you've seen a film. I think it's Faster.
Yes.
Pretty intense in that as well. Quite a badass in that as well. So, I mean, I just think that it's really good that he has done all these different roles and hasn't just let himself be typecast as the big action star.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to understand. Movies that he started off in, those are just... opportunities for him. He's like, all right, hell, I'll put on the Tooth Fairy suit.
Of course, he's got to get started somewhere.
Right. You know, it's not going to be handed to him, and the boy's doing it. You know, he's doing it big time, and you know, kudos to him.
I don't think anybody else from the world of wrestling has been as obviously not as successful as him in Hollywood.
I mean, I'm guessing it's harder for him coming over to that from being a wrestler. He probably got looked down at quite a bit, so he's done really well to get where he is, I think.
I want to tell a slight anecdote. I really, at no point in this match, I think I spoke to Bruno the morning, Sunday morning. I don't know if you remember, Bruno. I said I feel very strongly that The Rock's going to be the champion. And I was absolutely sure. Even when the lights went out and we saw CM Punk pin The Rock, I was absolutely sure. And part of the reason was, I feel like I'm claiming a kind of stake to fame, which is absolutely not the case. But the CM Punk on Saturday, the day before the Rumble, he sent out a tweet saying Alpha and Omega. And right away, I just knew what he meant because he's quite notorious for sending out veiled kind of tweets. And to me, I basically took that as Alpha and Omega, A to Z. And that term, I've seen it used so many times and times before as a way of meaning a beginning and an end of a cycle. And I actually wrote back to him from my Twitter account, my personal one, saying, you pretty much gave it away in this tweet. And literally within a couple of minutes, I think you saw this, Bruno, he replied to me saying, what's on my iPod? Whoops, spoilers, exclamation mark. And after this, I literally, no word of a lie, I got something like 200 tweets from random people. And some were abusive. Some were asking me to clarify what was being said. Some of them were these kind of suspicious looking links, which I didn't click on, and I recommend not clicking on them because I know they're all kind of some of those viruses and things. But some people pointed out to me that Alpha and Omega, apparently, I've not checked this up, but apparently they're a hardcore band. I've never heard of them. But basically, I was really sure of it, and I thought the fact that he'd taken the time to, well, firstly, that he saw the tweet, because I imagine he gets thousands of tweets a day, but the fact that he replied to it so quickly, I think he kind of realized it wasn't so veiled, and I kind of patted myself on the back because I was absolutely sure that that's what he meant.
Right. Well, good for you, man.
Why would you, for example, you're listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, why would you tweet out Red Hot Chili Peppers? He doesn't do that every day, does he?
Right.
But anyway, should we get on to talking about the actual Rumble match and maybe bringing on, taking a short break and bringing on Jeannie O'Dell, who was actually at the Rumble last night?
Yeah, let's just get on to the actual Rumble match.
Yeah, before we go, I wanted to ask you guys, it could be real quick, what do you think The Rock said to CM Punk after delivering that elbow and the 1-2-3 was followed? Did you catch notice of that? Before he pinned him, he whispered something to CM Punk.
He probably, knowing The Rock, he probably said thank you for letting him end his...
Exactly. That's exactly what I said he said last night when we were watching it here. I said right there, he just said thank you to CM Punk.
I mean, with the last encounter of him and Stone Cold at WrestleMania, he had quite a few words in the ring. Knowing the sort of guy that Rock is, he probably said thank you for letting him be the one to end the reign.
I did pick up at one point, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was JBL or Michael Cole, but they did say that even though The Rock's down, he's still talking trash, talking smack to CM Punk. Yeah. I'd like to think he said something like, I'm going to make you drink a beer after this. But yeah, I think you're probably right. We'll take a quick break and come back.
All right.
Bye.
And now for the second part of today's show, we welcome our guest, who was present at last night's Royal Rumble, Arizona's very own Miss Jeannie O'Dell. Hello, Jeannie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm not bad. Not too bad. So tell us a little bit about you, basically.
You pretty much said it. Jeannie O'Dell from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm just a huge wrestling fan.
Well, Jeannie, let's just say what we... Can you just tell us how you became such a huge wrestling fan?
Oh, God, ever since my eyes can see a television. I have three older brothers, so, and a sister that I wasn't really, too girly growing up. And they were just, they had wrestling on all the time. So pretty much my eyes were glued to the television, and I would wrestle around my brothers. And I mean, I would get so into wrestling that, you know, even if they were like upstairs with their friends, I would like run up there and say, "Hey, you gotta come down here. You gotta come down here and see what just happened. You gotta see what Macho Man just did. You won't believe it." And they're like, "Oh, I'll come down later." And I'm like, "No, you're missing it." So I pretty much became like a bigger fan than they did.
Who were the first sort of wrestlers that you were into? Who were the first ones that caught your eye?
Actually, it was a tag team. It would be Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Those were the first ones that I kind of got attached to, and then started getting into the whole Undertaker thing. And I would even do my little gimmick when I would wrestle with my brothers, like come out with my hair wet in front of my face, and
awesome.
I would do that.
Could you roll your eyes back? Could you roll your eyes back?
No, I think I tried the best I could.
It's like not easy, I tell you.
Yeah, and then and then Chris Jericho got in there. I was always huge with Chris Jericho, and then obviously Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, Mick Foley. He's a hardcore legend in my book. I think he can take a lot of hurt. I wasn't too fond of a couple of his characters, though, like Dude Love and Cactus Jack. But the original McFoley is a good one. Then you've got the silly ones like that. There was a few ones that I followed, just for laughs, like Doink and Dink the Clown and Jake the Snake Roberts and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and people like that.
All right. So we understand you were privileged to be at the Rumble yesterday. Earlier we were talking about a few matches. We didn't get to talk about the Rumble, but before we get into that, what's the overall experience of attending such a known pay-per-view event, considering it's one of the big fours? Can you describe the experience of attending that last night?
I've been to that arena so many times. So, and the atmosphere in Phoenix is always so great. And it's always like, it's very, very engaged with the WWE. And, so it was not too different. I would say a little bit more different as far as people being, you know,
I'll save you here. I noticed in the beginning, starting with the pre-show match that I watched, it was a bit quiet for that match as far as the crowd goes. And I found it that it was quiet for the first match. And then as soon as the second match came, it was like gradually getting more into it. Being there, did you notice this as well as far as the crowd not being as into it with those first two matches?
Yeah,
I mean, I think if you would have yelled, "Hey, I'm up here in seat 127, section B," I would have heard you. That's how quiet it was.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. They actually didn't even open up any sections until like a half an hour before, and there were so many people lined up around the whole entire building. Like me, I was even up like at the parking garage. There's a bridge that goes over And I was still up on the bridge, crossing over to across the street. And then the line was like all the way around. So I think it was just a matter of getting everybody in. And they only gave you half an hour to do that. I think there was just more people getting to their seats. That's why it was so quiet. I noticed it was pretty quiet too.
It was quite scaring me because I can't remember the last pay-per-view. I want to say the Survivor Series because that's the last one that I purchased. As I usually only purchase the main ones, and I can remember the crowd being very quiet, and it sort of kills the feel of watching it, you know, takes the excitement out.
Yeah, and I was also at Money in the Bank too, and that we didn't have that problem because we just went like right to our seats. Like I said, though, they only gave it a half an hour, and there were so many people, it was completely sold out. I mean, there was people sitting behind the Jumbotron thing, and I mean, those have to be horrible seats, but so many people, and to get everybody in a half an hour, it just didn't happen.
Jeannie, but although it sounded pretty quiet, when Chris Jericho came out, the crowd did pop big time.
Oh my goodness. It was amazing. That was one of the best parts for me.
I think that's when parts. The show kind of woke up.
Right. And that's what I was going to lead to. Angle. I was going to lead to the fact of it being dead, but once the Royal Rumble started and number two came out, I mean, Ziggler got a pop, but once that number, the intro music of him coming down, it was quiet for a second. It was like almost like everyone was in disbelief. Well, it was like once they realized what was happening, that Jericho returned, the crowd erupted.
Yeah, I just want to say, when Jericho come out last night, I marked at that. I actually marked out. And that for me, personally, was the best moment of the pay-per-view last night.
I agree.
I agree as well. Phoenix loves Jericho. Absolutely loves Chris Jericho. Money in the Bank, the same thing happened. So at the Royal Rumble, oh my God, he was getting, I don't know if you guys heard it over TV or how it sounded, he was just getting, I mean, people were just chanting Y2J, Y2J. I mean, even when he got eliminated, I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. I seriously screamed probably louder than I've ever screamed.
I noticed one chant that came across, and there was chanting, "You still got it." I'm thinking to myself, he wasn't gone that long.
That's what I know.
He is getting up there in age, though. So, and yeah. I think it's because back when Ziggler was, because he was feuding with Ziggler, and then they had the match for the Money in the Bank case, and he was telling him he doesn't have it anymore.
Right.
If you guys remember that. He was giving him a little bit of grief about that, about him not having his touch anymore. He lost his touch. So I think that people remembered that. It carried on from that. That's why they were chanting, "You still got it."
I think as well, usually for a Jericho return, everybody knows about it. He tries to play it down on Twitter, but everybody guesses he's coming back. But last night, I don't think there was any hint of him returning last night at all. Not that I sort of see on the dirt sheets or anything like that. So that probably helped with, like, I don't know, like the pop and stuff, and probably why I marked out so hard.
I thought that you would have known. That's why I stayed away. I think I heard you mention, you know, of two old wrestlers coming back, and I kind of just, I didn't want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I heard all the rumors. It was people like MVP and Shelton Benjamin and Carlito. No hint of Chris Jericho returning last night whatsoever. So I think it was good for a change that, you know, nobody actually knew about it.
Who got the second biggest pop of the night? Because there was Goldust and the Godfather as well.
Right.
Are you talking about for the whole entire night or just for the Rumble?
For the Rumble match.
I would say Cena.
But in terms of the legends, other than Jericho?
Goldust. He got a pretty big one. And then once everybody noticed that... His brother was like so shocked. They just got even louder, and that became pretty funny.
Because when Goldust left the WWE, I think it was about a year ago or around that, he did say one of the things he does regret is not having a feud or a significant match with Cody Rhodes. So that was nice to see that interaction yesterday between the two of them.
Oh yeah, they were fighting almost the whole time they were in there. I was like, oh my god, sibling rivalry, what's going on at home?
Yeah, and Jeannie, how was the crowd to the Kofi in the chair moment?
Oh, that was hilarious. I actually I think I might have turned my head or something. Then when I like turned back, all I saw was Tensai got eliminated, and then everybody was like making these weird noises, like, oh my god. I'm like, what's going on. I'm like looking around in the ring, I'm like seeing who got eliminated, and then all of a sudden I see Kofi on the desk and on the announcer's table, and I'm like, how did he get over there? And so I missed that part, but seeing him get back was pretty funny. It looked like he was attempting to jump but didn't have enough room, didn't want to risk it, so that whole chair thing was just awesome. And then when he got back in and got eliminated, I was kind of devastated. I'm like, oh.
I think he was meant to try to jump from the table to the ring, but you saw the doubt in his eyes, and he was just looking around, thinking of a way how to get back there, and came up with the pogo sticking of the desk chair.
Yeah, but I think so too.
When he was going to do that, I was cringing when I thought he was going to jump off that table, because obviously you could see he was standing on like the little topping sort of part of the table, that little bit they pull off first. And I thought, if he jumps that, that's going to slip right out from underneath him. He's going to fall flat on his face. So I'm pretty glad he didn't do that in the end.
Yeah, it's almost like that was in his way, and he was trying to get it out or figure something else out.
Yeah, it didn't look too safe. But I think that we're going to have to expect that every year now, aren't we? The Kofi Royal Rumble spot. I think that's going to be every year that he's there, that's what's going to happen. You got to look out for that Kofi spot in the Rumble.
Yeah, I was just like, because I'm a pretty big Kofi fan too. I like the high flyers and things like that, and people that are very agile, like John Morrison. I remember John Morrison's move where he got eliminated but hung on to the railing.
Oh, the parkour kind of thing.
Yeah,
got back up and jump back over. So I thought that was pretty awesome. I'm like, oh, if John Morrison can do it, you can.
And one of the other spots, Jeannie, how are the crowd reacting to Daniel Bryan eliminating Kane? And then I can't remember who it was, but somebody dropkicked Daniel Bryan, if anyone else remembers. And Daniel Bryan gets caught by Kane, and he's asking him to basically not let him drop on the floor. Do you remember that spot?
Yeah, I think that everybody was kind of laughing at that.
It came off pretty well on TV. It was quite entertaining.
Yeah,
because I remember that. And at that moment, I was like, okay, the cameras have got to be on these two right now in this moment and not on the ring, because nobody in the ring was wrestling at all. They were just like taking a little break. Like, leaned up against the ropes, and I was looking at that, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? I'm like, oh, don't do it, don't be mean. And then he kind of just like backed him up and dropped him. I was like, there's another feud right there, another breakup.
Just going back to Chris Jericho briefly as well, I thought it was a good moment to see him crack out the lion sword again, just to see that again come out. I thought that was pretty good during the actual Rumble match.
Oh my god, he did amazing. Like, I was so proud of him. Like I said, he's besides, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, obviously The Undertaker's a legend in my book, Shawn Michaels, you got Chris Jericho, which is, I mean, he's, I didn't really realize, like, I would have been so excited. I actually thought I would be more excited to see The Rock, which I was excited to see The Rock, because my first time seeing The Rock. But I think when Jericho returned, I was just, like, blown away. And I just kept watching him throughout the match, and he was doing very well. I was kind of sad when he was eliminated. I was like, no. And he just laid there for the longest time outside the ring. And people still chanted afterwards. They were still chanting Y2J. And that's just amazing.
I don't want to go on too much about Chris Jericho, but Anko probably remembers this because he was at the same event. The last time Raw was taping over here, I think it was the last time.
The last time it was in London rather than Birmingham, I think, Lee.
Yeah, sorry, the last one in London, that was, yeah, just before, just after WrestleMania. I think it was Punk and Jericho still feuding, I think, at the time? And they did the whole segment of CM Punk going into the pub and stuff.
That's
and,
right.
Jericho only appeared on the big screen, but then after the taping had finished, they did like the dark matches, and me and my friend was getting ready to go, and all of a sudden Jericho's music hits, and my jaw hit the floor.
If I remember rightly, he only came out literally for 1 or 2 minutes. He ran out.
Yeah, it was just one of them dark matches, wasn't it? After the tapings had finished, but so I didn't even think he was there because they did the whole thing of him being on the big screen. He wasn't actually out during the taping itself, but when he come out, yeah, I was just getting ready to leave my seat just to, you know, like you do, like beat the traffic and stuff. But as soon as I see him, my jaw hit the floor and I was straight back in my seat, marking out yet again. I seem to be doing that a lot to Chris Jericho.
Well, Jericho comes to the UK quite a lot, not only with his band, but it's only a few months ago I went to one of his open mic nights in London. He seems to be very fond of the UK.
Yeah, I think he is, because I think his band is very, very liked over here. I think they do have quite a big following over here in the UK.
Do you mind if I go on to talking about the what I felt like was the kind of another really, really big moment in the Rumble, is when it came to the last five. I believe it was Ziggler, who'd been in there the longest, Randy Orton, Ryback, Sheamus and John Cena. It just felt like, it reminded me of past Rumbles where you get the real big names in there, the last three or four. But I mean, that was really telling, having those five. It was almost the way of the WWE saying, you know, these are our five top dogs. And it was such an exciting few minutes having the five of them in the ring all at the same time. How was that, Jeannie? How was that live?
That was pretty amazing. I was looking, I was like, wow. I was like, really? It's down to these guys. I'm like all the good ones are in there. I just kept thinking, I was like, oh my God, who do I root for? Because I'm like, I've become a huge Sheamus fan since he's come out, you know, ever since he debuted on the scene. So, and I'm also a really big Orton fan, and then Cena, he's up there too. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, who do I go for? I think the only person that I just really wanted out was Ziggler. So it was pretty exciting watching them all go at it. And then Orton got eliminated. I was just like, oh no. And then I think I was really upset after I think it was Ryback who eliminated Sheamus, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh no. I'm like, no, you didn't. I'm like, okay, payback. I'm like, Cena, get him. It was pretty exciting. And I'm like, that's what you get for eliminating Sheamus.
How did that come across to you, Lee, that last interaction of the last five?
Well, I was just going to say, I like how when, from the start up until that point, you have like all the spots, you have all your returns of like old wrestlers and stuff and that, and then it comes to that bit where the last four or five, they stop and have that stare down, and you think, right, this is it, here we go, this is like the business end of the Rumble, and,
yeah,
and that's when it gets serious. So I like that bit. It kind of sets the tone for that last bit of the Rumble itself.
Any thoughts on that, Bruno?
No, I mean, if you wanted to say predictable, you almost have to predict that it was going to come down to those guys. I wasn't too happy with the way it finished, so to speak. I think it could have, those two could have gone at it a little bit more.
I
totally agree with that too.
Just to give us something, what could be in time.
Definitely.
I think the way Cena got rid of Ryback was way too easy.
Yeah,
I
mean, far too easy.
Yeah, I agree.
A bulldog to the ropes, over the top ropes. It didn't work for me.
To be a kind of a really nostalgic, but it reminded me. It may have done the same for you, Bruno. It reminded me of that Rumble. I'm not sure what year it was. I think it was 1990. But there was a brief moment with the Warrior and Hogan in the ring together.
Right, you're absolutely right. But if you recall that one, you know, they had the running across each other, dropping on the floor, running across and hitting each other. And it it was like, wow, these two, the big guys of the WWF, are one-on-one, something never you would never think would happen. It was more dramatic back then. They played it out well with this one. It was just like, all right, here, boom, boom, you guys fight. I lock you in this submission move. You go to sleep per se, and then I get you out. So it was, could have been more.
I mean, usually the last two, they have a bit of a battle where they slug it out a bit, and you would have thought, especially with John Cena and Ryback, two like beasts, you know, you would have thought they'd have slugged it out a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. Right. Yeah, I think that ended too quickly.
Right, and you got to think, you know, could this be the downfall of the WWE's vision on the titans, if you will, the big titans being the ones that should carry the company on their back, whereas you have Dolph Ziggler, man, the guy can deliver a great show, you know, and I think his time needs to come already, you know. He could have, him and Randy Orton, the last two in the match, could have been better than those two, in my opinion.
They've
given very close calls, you know, Randy Orton whipping Dolph Ziggler to the turnbuckle across the other side of the ring, and him flipping over the turnbuckle and almost falling off the apron, stuff like that, you know.
I think they did well in definitely keeping Orton strong before he was eliminated, because a brief moment where everyone was down after pretty much he gave everyone an RKO.
Yeah.
They kept him strong. No matter what happened with Ziggler, he lasted the longest in there, and he looked strong just off that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they put Ziggler over pretty well.
And Sheamus as well, because as I remember it, Sheamus, he eliminated more other wrestlers than anybody else. I mean, when he came down, there's a couple of bro kicks, people like David Otunga he eliminated, and he just seemed to kind of come down to the ring the way Kane used to come down to the ring. Not as dramatic, but he was kept strong. Cena obviously won it, and Ryback also eliminated a few people as well, even though he came down quite late on in the match. He was the last person, actually.
Yeah.
I think everyone was kept strong, possibly Ryback the least. But where do you see, it's quite obvious that Cena, it looks quite obvious that he'll be in WrestleMania 29 with The Rock and probably win the title back, but where do you see things going for the others, Ziggler, Orton, and Ryback, and Sheamus as well?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I mean, as far as Randy Orton and Sheamus, you can see something building up and intensifying after the Elimination Chamber, and then, of course, set something up for WrestleMania. I think that's a match written already, those two. But my thing is Dolph Ziggler. You know, who's going to – is it going to be Alberto Del Rio? You can almost guarantee as well Ryback settling it with one of the guys from the Shield come WrestleMania. So my big thing is Dolph Ziggler, what they're going to do with him and how they're going to shine him up for WrestleMania.
That's my main thing, just seeing when they're finally going to let Ziggler go and give him the title and let him run with it. He deserves it.
On another note, what do you guys think of Wade Barrett getting eliminated by a NXT superstar?
Actually, I was going to ask Jeannie, when Bo Dallas came out, did anybody recognize Bo Dallas? And given that NXT's not available everywhere, I was exactly going to ask that, Bruno.
No, everybody was like, who's that? Who's that? And like all around me, I'm like, I believe he's on NXT, because I was watching some things and I heard some NXT people got somebody from NXT got a chance to get into the Rumble, and so I knew one of them was going to be in there. So I knew the one that I wouldn't know of that would be an NXT person, and like I was shocked. I was shocked that he eliminated Wade Barrett. I was like, oh my god, no way that kid just eliminated Wade Barrett. And then he came back, and what he did to him, I'm like, oh come on. Just not right. That kid, you know, he was holding his own pretty well in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think WWE did well with letting him have a good sort of extended period in the Rumble and not just coming in and getting straight back out again, you know, like having his arm kicked and then getting chucked straight back over the rope. They actually let him, you know, get in there, mix it up with him, and then obviously get an elimination.
Do you guys remember a few weeks ago, it was Santino Marella with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in his corner against Wade Barrett? I think the original plan was for Richie Steamboat, the Dragon's son, to have that spot. But obviously something's changed, and they brought in IRS's son, and he's also brothers with Bray Wyatt, another NXT member. I just wonder if you remember that.
I remember seeing that where he, yeah, he was with him, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the original plan, but obviously something's changed. But yeah, I was disappointed it wasn't Bray Wyatt, because he's having a really, if anybody's seen NXT, he's having a really a good kind of storyline, a real good character that he's got down there as well. Hopefully we'll see him on Raw as well eventually, or SmackDown.
Another moment that kind of like stood out is when Cena's music hit. Everybody in the ring was just waiting for him. They just stopped with doing what they were doing. I'm like, oh, come on, guys. He goes down there and he gets like attacked like a cat, like just run into a pack of dogs. Just like, I'm like, are you serious? Yeah, that was another moment where everybody was like, what? It's kind of those what's going on moments, you know.
Just on the final point, it looks like it's going to be, would you agree, it looks like it's going to be Cena and The Rock at WrestleMania?
Here's my thing. You put so much into it once in a lifetime, the year before. I think the only thing that they can sell it on is Cena pretty much saying he wants it one more time. And now it's even sweeter because The Rock has the title. But no, I don't want to see it, you know?
No, I don't want to see it either, but it looks like that's going to happen. What are your thoughts, Jeannie?
I agree with that. I honestly didn't like the match last year. I didn't like it at all. The things that I don't like about the two of them is kind of like they're so big and stuff, and when they get hurt, they kind of like oversell it.
Exactly.
But, and I'm like, come on, you're not that hurt. It's just, Both of them do it, and it's kind of annoying. And like the Rock, the first part of his match, it looked like he was getting his butt whooped all over the place. And I'm like, come on, Rocky, stop it, just stop it.
And that was the thing that I you know, I wanted to stress. I was hoping he didn't do that, and he did, because size of CM Punk compared to The Rock, like you would think, dude, come on, that, you know, that
he would
didn't
come back strong,
right? And that's what I mean, I wanna see. That's just the point of, that's just them being so passionate and wanting to sell the product. But you're right, they do oversell it the same way Hogan oversold it. But you know, people like that stuff, you know.
Another reason why a lot of people don't like John Cena is they can see through it, and they don't. Seeing John Cena live, you can see the power he has, and he has a lot of technique, and I think that there's a lot more that he can do. I know that there's a lot more that he can do that they're not letting him do because of the way that they're trying to portray him. But as far as WrestleMania goes, I think that, nobody wants to see that match again, so I'm kind of wondering if maybe Taker might call him out, or if, like, I'm wondering who Taker's going to call out. Like, it could be, you know, WrestleMania. It could be CM Punk again versus The Rock. I mean, I'd rather see that. I kind of don't want to see, I mean, even though a lot of people might want to see it, I kind of don't want to see CM Punk take the Undertaker streak, but, that just may happen.
Can I just say, obviously, I don't want to see this either, The Rock versus Cena. I think they got away with it the first time because, for the spectacle of it, almost like Hogan versus Rock at WrestleMania. You know, yeah, Everybody's going to buy into it the first time, but maybe they're not going to get away with it for the second time. It could be quite a bad one. But
right. They're
all saying that they're doing the second one so that Cena gets, you know, his payoff for letting The Rock go over on him. So CM Punk, where's his payoff? And I can maybe see it as he is going to be the one that ends Taker's streak. As much as I'd hate to see it, but I'm guessing that's going to be his payoff for letting The Rock go over on him.
You may be right.
We're going to have loads of time to talk about the in upcoming episodes, the WrestleMania card that's going to be happening.
Right, so I think we're coming just about to the end of it now. But just to wrap up quickly, Jeannie, if you could just tell us, how do you know us? How did you come to know us three?
Well, I think we all pretty much came on tout around the same time when WWE was advertising this new app, and I got on there just kind of browsing around. Of course, everybody's going to notice this Rock impersonator. you get Bruno over there. So I noticed that.
The Rockabee. Okay.
The Rockabee, yeah. I noticed that, and was kind of noticing him feuding with a really horrible John Cena impersonator, very wishy-washy guy. And then, yeah, I noticed that, you know, I was like, I gave him, I think I sent out a couple touts saying, you know, what you guys are doing is pretty awesome. And, I gave him, you know, kudos for doing such a good job. And then I didn't really notice anybody else until I think you two, Lee, until you kind of started feuding with him. And then because I didn't talk to you for such a long time because of my personal issues with CM Punk on Twitter. I know it's, oh my God, don't ever send that man any tweets that are negative because you will get so much hate mail. So I don't know, because I don't really like CM Punk. And trust me, I think he's a brilliant sports entertainer. That there's no disputing that. He's amazing, but
doesn't have great people skills, does he?
No, he doesn't. That's why I kind of like stayed away from you. I was like, me and this guy might not get along. And then finally, I got to speak to you, and we got along just fine. And then, you know, got from there, went on to meet Cajun Cowboy, and then UK Punk. I think at this time, Anko was taking a break, and then as soon as Anko came back, and it just meshed really, really well. Like a bond, like a very easy bond, too. I think wrestling is like something that, if you know about wrestling, it's very easy to get to know somebody and, you know, feel comfortable talking to that person. I sent out a tout last night thanking them for having this this great tool to communicate with people from around the world. I mean, there's people that I have friends with now that I believe I'll continue to talk to from Ireland and the UK and, you know, from the East Coast. And I think there's people that I'll probably continue talking to for the rest of my life. So that's an amazing thing.
I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again, but that's what I find great about tout is the fact that obviously in the UK, the wrestling is not as big. So for me to be able to find other people to be able to talk to wrestling about and that, and the group that we've made, it's just really good, I think.
Yeah. One thing I noticed about how I did not know how many, like, until I got on tout, how, like, it almost seems like there's a huge majority that are from the UK. And I was like, wow, how is it that big over there if they hardly ever go over there? So you guys are, I got to give it to you. You guys are dedicated fans, especially the time it comes on there.
We always get good reputations, I think, for our crowds that we have at the Raw shows and stuff. I think we always get a good reputation for that.
Yeah, I've got to say that the Raw crowds last year for Birmingham was hands down the best. I think the only thing that came close to it was Montreal when they had the Hitman out. That was a really good crowd as well. But I mean, I sometimes love the USA. I love the country for so many things. But sometimes I see Raw in various places, and the crowd is just so dead. And I think, why have you even gone to this event? You know, it's disappointing, really. Jeannie, where can people find you?
On tout, it's Jeannie O'Dell. On Twitter, it's the same thing, Jeannie O'Dell. It's pretty much everywhere at Jeannie O'Dell. Hashtag that's Jeannie O'Dell. Cajun Cowboys little thing.
So I think that's pretty much it. Thanks for being on, Jeannie, and thanks for sharing your experience from last night.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
And hopefully we'll see you on the show again sometime.
Yeah, it was great. Great talking to you guys.
You can find me on Twitter at UKPunkBITW.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us here on the episode 2 of WrestlingRTS.com. I want to thank Jeannie O'Dell for coming and sharing her experience at the Royal Rumble last night. And you can find me at BrunoMelky36 on tout and on Twitter at ALOW5Points.
And Jeannie, Bruno, and Lee, thanks so much for coming on and doing an episode 2. And just want to quickly mention, just give a quick shout out to the Royal One, I believe he is on tout. And at Twitter, ChristopherX187, he kindly designed the WRTS logo that you see on our website, which it looks really basic at the moment, but we are working on adding content and pictures and material to the website, and that's coming soon. We're also working on getting the podcast to a few more places like Stitcher and iTunes and wherever else, and hopefully that'll be coming soon, but it's obviously a very new show, so these things take time. I understand that C Nation Chris Smith is looking after our Facebook page, and I'm guessing the address is Wrestling Radio Talk Show Facebook, something like that. I'm not actually sure. So that's how early we are in growing the podcast.
Yeah, I think if you search, I think it's Wrestling RTS, I believe.
Right. Thank you, Lee. I'll take your word for it, because I don't actually know. Chris is looking after that. And we've got a Twitter page, which I mainly oversee, which is Wrestling RTS. And obviously, we've got our website, www.wrestlingrts.com. And I believe we'll be back on next weekend again with Mondo Dave and C Nation himself. He was briefly on the first episode, but I believe got cut off, so he'll be on the third episode. And hopefully, Lee, Bruno, would you be available for the following week, episode 4, where we'll have our first WRTS roundtable with Big Bubba Joe Weber?
I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'll be there.
I'll definitely be there.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks, Jeannie. Thanks, Bruno. Thanks, Lee. Thank you all. And we'll be back next week.
All right. Thank you. Always great talking to you guys.